journey of Christmas. Have you ever considered how many journeys converged on the night of Christ's birth? When reading the Christmas story from the Word of God, it seems almost everyone in the biblical record of Christ's birth is on a journey. From Christ's own journey from heaven, Mary and Joseph from Nazareth, the wise men from the east, shepherds from the hills, and a prophetess from the temple. All were connected by Christ's birth, and all were part of God's plan. Tonight, we will follow these travelers as related to the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is our prayer that you recognize the most important journey was made by God himself in coming to earth as a man. God's divine promise, the Messiah, was to redeem mankind from the curse of sin. Our desire for you is to recognize the most important journey you will ever make is directly to Christ for the forgiveness of sins. Please, open your hearts tonight as you join us for the journey of Christmas.
Yeah. I've never found communicating with humans to be easy. Over the centuries, we angels have appeared to various individuals to deliver messages from the God of Heaven. And we usually spend the first few minutes saying, "Fear not," or "Be not afraid." It's always been remarkable to me how the sun cloaked his brilliance for his journey to Earth. That journey began with the fall of man. On that terrible day, when the first man and woman chose to defy God's command, he promised them a Savior. He promised to send the Holy Son of Heaven to redeem them from their chosen path of sin. We knew when God planned to do it. He even told man through his prophet Isaiah. "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." And indeed it came to be. The prophet Micah told where this miraculous event would take place. "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." Seeing the Holy One of Heaven assume a body devoid of his cloak of brilliant glory was a sight I could not tire of. My eyes could not fathom my Master as a man, and yet I watched it all happen. And when he was born, I was there. Truly, heaven had come to earth.
Foretold that my son would be born in Bethlehem, so we had to go. If you know anything about our country or in Israel, you know that our home in Nazareth was over 60 miles to Bethlehem. When Joseph first told me where we had to go, I could hardly believe my ears. What about Jesus? I remember Joseph smiling and assuring me that God will take care of his son and me. So we started the long trip to Nazareth, Bethlehem, joining the stream of people that filled down the busy pathways. Under normal conditions, such a trip takes about 3 days, perhaps less when riding, but I most certainly was not in any normal condition. That donkey was such a patient beast, and it bore my constant rearranging and request for rest without a struggle. I don't need to complain, but only to explain that, because of me, our journey was made unnecessarily long. And we arrived with the stragglers into Bethlehem 4 days after we left home. There were no rooms left, but when Joseph told me that we were staying the night in the stable, I can honestly say it was a welcome sight. Oh, it wasn't my first choice, but I knew my hour was close and any rest would be pleasant. And that night, and our humble quarters were blessed beyond the richest rooms of the inn by the birth of the Savior. The long, weary journey had well been worth it.
He's right.
day our King arrived on earth should have been the most celebrated day in history. But it wasn't. At the very least, the Jews should have known that he had come. The signs were all there. They were simply ignored. It was as if the people had forgotten Isaiah's words. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. But the God of the universe would not allow his son to come unannounced and without fanfare. So he sent us. We were sent that starry, cool evening to some shepherds, the kind of men who have a faith unsullied by the world's wealth and power. They were simple and believing. We all knew that if we sprang out of the quiet sky once, those poor men would be overwhelmed beyond recovery. So only one of us was sent at first. His message was simple. The Savior is born. And when we couldn't hold ourselves back any longer, we burst into the sky above, a choir beaming God's radiance and singing his announcement song.
Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men.
Familiar with them that we no longer needed the scrolls in which they were written. I suppose that's where our journey began, with faith that the things that were written were indeed true. Could not imagine our joy when we discovered that star. We often study the night skies, mapping its patterns, observing its changes. When that brilliant star appeared, we were all fully aware that it was special. It could only be his star, this king that had been foretold. We had to see for ourselves. Within a few days, we were caravanning towards the beaming birth announcement. Carefully secured amongst our belongings were rich gifts for the young royal. And for months, we followed that star. If ever I doubted the sanity of our journey, I had but to look up to ease my heart. The day our journey ended is forever etched in my mind. We anticipated throngs of people rejoicing at the anticipated birth of the king. Instead, we encountered a jealous King Herod and blank-faced scribes who had to look through dusty scrolls to find the very prophecies that we knew. Nobody knew about the Prince of Peace or the Mighty Counselor. So we returned to our star. Till all of a sudden, it stopped. At last, we have found the king. We approach the place reverently. Upon our knock, a request to see the child, we're admitted by a man. His wife was seated nearby, and on her lap was the king we'd come so far to see. We fell at his feet and humbly offered our gifts. I'll never know why wise men of the East were told of his birth in such a miraculous way. But it's a journey that changed me forever. A journey of faith, hope, and worship.
Thank you. an old woman is doing here?
Oh, I am old. As a matter of fact, I'm...
Oh, no. I'm not going to tell you just how old I am. But I will tell you why I am here. My name is Anna. The journey of my life story is one of patience. Patience born of much, much waiting. It all started when I was a little girl. I remember my father talking about Messiah. In the face of looming wars or trouble in Jerusalem, my father would comfort us with the promises of Messiah. As a little girl, I was impatient for him to come. If God's Messiah was going to make us all rulers, what was he waiting for? And you know, when the day came for me to become a wife, I found myself blessed with a husband who also lived with the future ever before him. He too spoke often of the redemption of Israel. Now, I told you this was a journey of patience, and after several years of marriage without children, I found that God was indeed teaching me patience. And for 7 years, I watched for Messiah alongside my husband, and then one day I found myself looking for the coming king alone. When you're young, you never expect to become a widow. But don't pity me. Don't pity me. How can you pity someone who was cared for by the everlasting Father? It has now been many, many years since my husband's passing. If the Lord gives me many more, I'll be right into Methuselah. Rather than remarrying, I came here to the temple and devoted myself to pray for my people and the coming of Messiah. I've been blessed in my ministry as a prophetess and discovered what it truly means to wait on the Lord. I was praying in the temple one day when I heard a ruckus on the steps outside. It was my good friend Simeon. Now, Simeon is nearly as old as I am, and we've had many a good talk about Messiah. And now it was Messiah he was again speaking of, and I heard him say,
"Now I may depart in peace, since I've seen thy salvation."
If Simeon said he had seen the salvation of the Lord, that could mean only one thing, that he has seen Messiah! Well, I took myself as fast as I could to the sound of his voice, and coming upon him suddenly, I saw a man and his wife, and she was holding a small child. No one had to tell me that this child was Messiah. Oh, I had waited too long and prayed too hard not to know him when I saw him. How I praise God at that beautiful sight. All my years of waiting and watching have now been fulfilled, and God can take me home whenever he chooses. Oh, but what an end to my journey. I have seen him, the Messiah, who will redeem the world.
I have seen him, yes, I've seen him.
For the 33 years of the Savior's life, heaven was as a man holding his breath in anticipation, silent, watchful, and waiting. We all knew what was to happen at the end of his earthly life. The Holy Son of Heaven fully intended to die for the human race. Only he had the power to undertake such a task, and nothing more despicable could have been the object of his grace. God, crucified for man, is the kind of thing that is so marvelous that words cannot express it. The hosts of the angels, myself among them, were poised and ready to fling ourselves to earth at any command from him, robed in flesh as he was. More than once, we were sent to minister to him in his loneliness. Once, we ministered to him after he withstood Satan's attacks. Another time, we attended him in prayer. But we were always ready for his call. The day of the crucifixion, we were ready, but he never spoke. We watched as his earthly followers betrayed and forsook him. The Pharisees took him, falsely tried him, and the soldiers beat and bruised him beyond all human recognition. When they led him to Golgotha, our swords were drawn and ready. Our company in high passion that the Son of Heaven should be treated so. Yet, the orders never came. When he died on that cross, God's wrath shook the earth and the very light of heaven seemed to dim. The day of the great fall of man had been terrible, but the day of the death of God's Son is beyond my description. Then as now, I could not understand the love he had for those people. It was his whole purpose in going. A journey of 33 years ended with a destination of love.
Amen.
seen the many distances that people have traveled, but in each case, they all ended at the same place, at the feet of Christ. There was Anna the prophetess, whose journey lasted an entire lifetime. For her, it truly was a journey of patience. Wise men left their place of prominence and power to travel to lowly Judea. Theirs was one of humility. Angels left the very gates of heaven itself to travel to earth to tell mankind of the Savior's birth. And Mary, she began her journey in Nazareth when she was told she would give birth to the Savior of the world. Hers was a journey of faith, and no Christmas story would be complete without Christ. Christ left his throne in heaven to a manger in Bethlehem, and eventually to a cross on Golgotha. His was a journey of obedience, sacrifice, and salvation.
Thank you.